Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, April the 17th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 91, the second paragraph, When Your Man Is Better, through one paragraph ending, He May Be More Receptive When Depressed. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen M.C., the 12 Traditions, Kathy T., the readers of the text are Kara L., Chanel T., and Shelley E. The share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, April the 16th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,348. That's 22348. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, April the 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,354. That's 22354. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Karen M.C. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service. I am Karen, a recovered compulsive overeater from Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive readers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Pat.
Thank you very much, Karen M.C. And I will now ask Kathy P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, and thanks, Mo, for your service. One, our calm and welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, leaves problems of money, property, and prestige diverted from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service today.
Thank you very much, Kathy P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 91. The second paragraph down begins with, when your man is better, and it ends with, he may be more receptive when depressed. And I will now ask Kara L. to get us started. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. When your man is better, the doctor might suggest a visit from you. Though you have talked with the family, leave them out of the first discussion. Under these conditions, your prospect will see he's under no pressure. He will feel he can deal with you without being nagged by his family. Call on him while he is still jittery. He may be more receptive when depressed. Good morning. Again, this is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I know for myself, my family, you know, I remember my family talking to me, and if I thought they brought somebody in to help me, I would not be receptive. And for myself, I know, like, sometimes, especially, you know, my husband can't tell me anything, right? I'm very stubborn that way. But if a doctor says it to me, I'll be like, oh. That's one of the character defects that I work on, right? But when I'm fully in my disease, I think I know what I can do to fix it. And it's only when, it says, call on him when he is jittery. He may be more receptive. I know when I get down to that bottom and I am coming off a binge or whatnot, thankfully that's been a long time ago, I am more receptive to help. When I'm feeling good and like I have everything, I'm much more stubborn. I much more have the belief I think I can do it myself, right? But when I am, you know, coming off something, or I've tried something and I've tried over and over again and I keep failing, I'm much more receptive to the glimmer that I might not know what's going on. You know, that, you know, me being the addict might not know how to fix it, and then I might be more receptive. And I'll be more receptive to somebody who comes in and says, look, I've been where you've been. And this is what worked for me. You know, that I trust. someone that's been, someone that's suffered, someone that has seen, has tried over and over again too. Right? And so when I read this, it reminds me, be calm, be patient, be gentle. Right? Lay out the program of recovery that worked for me. And then walk away. Right? I can't bring anybody to recovery. All I can say is, I've been where you are, and this is what worked for me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Tara L., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? We're on page 91, the second paragraph, when your man is better, and it ends with, he may be more receptive when depressed. I will take some names. Anybody? Press star 1 to unmute.
Maria C. in Los Angeles.
Maria C., got you.
Sylvia F. in Portland.
Christy D. in Oregon.
Christy.
Is Sherry M. in Wyoming?
Sherry M. in Wyoming. So I have Maria C., Sylvia F., Christy D., and Sherry M. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? All right. Everyone mute except Maria C. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you, everybody. My name is Maria C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. I didn't really have anything planned to say with this paragraph. I am myself a teacher, and that uncomfortable silence of volunteering just got to me. But I will say, thinking about my experience when I was in the food, when I was down bad, when I was close to being ready to take step one, you know, when I was my most depressed and sobbing and, you know, I couldn't talk. I had acid reflux so bad I couldn't talk towards the end before I finally surrendered. I think it's still the demeanor at which someone needed to approach me still would need to match the demeanor that we talked about in all the previous paragraphs. You know, if someone had come in and, like, as a savior being like, you need to do this to save your life, that still wouldn't have worked for me. It's still that peaceful attraction rather than promotion that our speaker just talked about, that like somebody saying, when I was like that, this is what worked for me, you know. And I think that's what I'm going to try to remember going forward, taking from this paragraph, is that maybe someone might be as depressed as I was, as miserable as I was, sobbing down bad as I was, but I still did not need a person to be my savior when I was that bad. And I'm not anyone's savior. I can just be kind and gentle and share what worked for me and model it as best I can. So thank you guys for listening. I pass.
Thank you. Pardon me. Thank you very much, Maria C. from California. Up next is Sylvia F., followed by Christy D. Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Mo. This is Sylvia F. in Portland, Oregon. So happy to be here on the meeting with all of you. And yeah, that long pause, I often don't share because I don't want to get into the free-for-all of getting my name in there. And there was this long pause, and I was like, hey, I'm going to share today. So that was nice, nice door opening. And the passage, you know, it. Every single one of these passages that we've read this past week is so important. So I had a lifetime of, you know, people saying to me, oh, if you have such a pretty face, if you would just blah, blah, blah. And these were well-meaning people who loved me and wanted me to be different, didn't want me to suffer or didn't want me to embarrass them or whatever. It doesn't matter. And that was never, ever, ever, ever going to change me. I had to get to desperation. And I had to talk to someone who understood what I had, not judged what I had. And so when I came into program, and when I have had two relapses, short relapses, thank God, it had to be that desperation of being willing to do whatever it takes. But it's got to be also that person or contact or meeting. I couldn't feel judged. Right now, my neighbor has a son who's morbidly obese, who's just decided to pursue bariatric surgery. And so I reached out to her very, very gently and said, you know, I just wanted to let you know I'm in this program. And I sent him some podcasts of men speaking who are over 100 pounds, which is what he is. And she just soundly rejected, you know, oh, he would be too embarrassed to have me talk, to have you talk to him. And I felt so bad for the guy, you know, because the greatest gift is to have someone talk to him who has been there and understands, and there's no judgment, and has hope. He has no hope right now. I mean, just the way that she expressed. So it reminded me how this passage works: desperation and hope, and someone who won't judge them. And I was living with an alcoholic, you know, maybe 20 years ago, living with an alcoholic, and I kept on just talking to her about my program of recovery. And she was in her cups at night and head on the table, et cetera, et cetera. And she'd do it. And I gave her a big book, and I kept on saying, yeah, have you looked at that book? And one night, when she was insomniac and crazy, et cetera, she picked up the book and read it cover to cover. And the next morning she said, I finally get what you were saying. And we went to a meeting that day. And she's been sober probably 15 years. When you're ready, you're ready. But somebody's got to be there with a hand out reaching. Right. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sylvia F. from Oregon. Up next is Christy D., followed by Sherry M. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy D., grateful recovering overeater from Oregon. And thank you, everyone, for your service. And, you know, this, you know, paragraph reminds me of, you know, my own step one. And, you know, when I was at my lowest and, you know, the way my disease manifested was in bulimia. You know, I remember my husband at the time would like follow me to the bathrooms when we were at restaurants to try to make sure I wouldn't purge, and just the things, his desperation and me, and, you know, like the way sometimes like my mom would bring over certain things, and I would ask her not, and she would just say, well, just don't eat it. And it's like, well, I wish it was that simple. But it's not for me, you know, and it's hard for people who aren't in the disease to understand, you know, like the hopelessness and the desperation. And when you're in that moment, like every part of you wants to not do it, but you just keep doing it. And, you know, that is the crux of the disease. And, you know, I think one of the most painful things for me, you know, is watching somebody still suffer and feeling like, hey, I have a solution. And, you know, that person's not open, but kind of like me, you know, I wasn't ready for the solution until I was ready for it. My second husband at the time, the way I came into OA is he was in a rehab center for a different kind of addiction. And when I did the family weekend, it turned into an intervention with me, saying that, you know, it wouldn't be healthy for him to come home unless I got help for my eating disorder. And when I heard that and they told me at OA, I wasn't ready. I was actually angry, felt self-righteous, like, how dare you compare what he has done to what I'm doing? Like, these are the same thing. And, you know, my stubbornness, and I wasn't ready to hear it that day. But eventually, when I got desperate enough and You know, I hit that step one, I knew where to turn. And so I think that was powerful for me, is that even though I wasn't ready to hear that message at that time, when I was ready to hear it, I did remember it and I knew what to do. And when I was ready, I knew who to call. And that's how I got to my first OA meeting. It wasn't the day somebody told me about OA. It was somebody who told me about OA. And when I hit my bottom, I was ready to call OA and I knew who to call. And I really believe OA saved my life in a lot of ways. So I think sometimes we share our message, we share our hope, and maybe we don't always know how that impacts people or when it will impact people. And that's why we keep, it's a program of attraction, not promotion. And sometimes, like that therapist who told me about OA will probably never know that that's what got me recovered, you know, that addiction therapist, but it was, and he'll probably never know that. And so I think that's just the power in us, you know, doing 12 step and working our program, and we never know who we're going to impact when we do that. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy D. And before I take Sherry M., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 91, the second paragraph down. When your man is better, and it ends with, he may be more receptive when depressed. And after Sherry, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey there. Thanks, Mo. This is Sherry M., and I am in Wyoming, and I'm a real compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful to share on this. And I really want to share from both perspectives, but I just know that until I've come to the end of myself, I can't get the help, right, that I need. I can't really get it. And I've been on a mission, you know, calling lots of people these last 2 weeks, either people that I've tried to spread the message when I wasn't actually, or I was not spreading the message that I have now, or people that had tried to help me, and I just thought that they were ludicrous, the things that they were suggesting to me. And both were what it was at the time. And I have to say, I'm grateful for this new experience with the steps and with God and with a sponsor who's pretty harsh, but very loving. And I feel like I might be a different sponsor as a result of being sponsored with the truth. So, you know, here's what I think is super important. In the past, when I have tried to share a message, I've tried to do it with such a loving way, out of fear of what they might think of me, or, you know, what they might tell other people about my sponsorship. And I haven't always been truthful, out of fear. And that could like kill somebody, is what I'm seeing now. I'm just seeing how, like, being truthful when we are dealing with this disease is really important from one compulsive overeater to the next, because we could be saving a life. And no matter how much somebody tried to give me a message, unless I am done negotiating, and in my mind, I use the word negotiation because it kind of looks like this. You know, I pray to God to ask somebody to help me. And then when they're actually giving me the help, I'm negotiating with the help, right? Because I'm still in self-will. And I think that I know what needs to be done because I've been here, because I think time somehow has some sort of advantage on this disease. And honestly, it has a disadvantage. It's almost like the longer that I'm here and, you know, God has provided a life beyond, and then I start to, like, put God second and then ended up back, you know, doing things my way. And my message today is a surrendered life and literally turning it all over and just saying, you know, back to, like, here, no negotiation, I'll do whatever you say. The same things that I'm doing today, these things that I said I would never do, that I judged other people doing, whether it was taking that extra blueberry off the scale or whatever it is. That's what I'm, how I'm living a surrendered life today and getting closer to God. So I was wrong, and I hope I continue to be open and willing to see that God's truth is the only truth, and I can't get to it, and I can't get the help I need here unless my friend gave me a prayer. Sherry, we pray for help. So I prayed for help, but then I have to pray for the help, you know, to receive it. God, please let me receive the help that you are giving me, because I try to get in the way of it and negotiate and make up different rules, and it doesn't work, but the program does. Thanks, Mo. Bye.
Thanks very much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 91, second paragraph down, when your man is better, and it ends with he may be more receptive when depressed. Press star one to unmute.
This is Teresa B. from Tennessee.
Teresa B.
Tara B. from Florida.
Is that T-A-R-A?
Yes.
Tara B. from Florida. Thank you. I have Teresa B. and Tara B. Anyone else? All right. Teresa, I'll let you go first. You go first, and then Tara second. We'll get another lineup after that. Good morning, Teresa.
Hi, thank you so much. Teresa B. from Nashville. And this is only my second time to share, so bear with me for a second. I started OA about 35 years ago and then have taken a long break, and I'm back, so I'm new. And I just wanted to share, hopefully this is relating to the topic. When I first, before I ever got into OA, I was really young, but I was married. I had some children, and my mom said to me, "You're so thin. Are you sure you're okay?" And at that time, I leaned toward the anorexic side, and that's all she said to me, but it planted the idea of maybe I have a problem. And so I did pray about it. God, am I okay? Am I not okay? And that was it. But my mom never said anything else to me. And in my experience, and I did find OA, but in my experience, I have wanted attention. I've wanted people to talk to me. I've wanted people to... And my point is, I'm not sure what that would have done for my self-centeredness. It would have possibly kept that self-centeredness just cycling. I experienced that with my husband, my friends, when I would tell them about myself. I wanted attention from having an eating disorder. And then when I left OA, it really bothered me that nobody seemed to care about me. Nobody called me. Nobody checked on me. And I haven't done a fourth step around this time on any of that, so I don't know how that's going to come up for me and how it's going to land. But I just want to say that now I'm back, and it's very humbling. And I'm wanting people to know, it's kind of like a different side to all of this from what I'm hearing. My daughter knows that I'm back in OA. I told her. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just told her. But, you know, there were no questions. There's that self-centeredness of, why don't you want to call and ask me any question, you know? Early this morning, and I'm being very quiet, but I'm aware of my wanting people to give me attention. And so I don't know how that fits with the chapter, except that giving attention could backfire on someone that is an addict because of that self-centeredness and just keeping that cycle going. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Teresa B. from Tennessee. Up next is Tara B., and after Tara, I will take another lineup of names. Tara B. from Florida.
Hi there, I'm Tara B. From Florida, and it's been a while since I've been in the meetings. I started OA in 1993, so that makes me 32 years later. That puts me at 32 years later. but this paragraph I thought was relevant for me, talking about being more receptive. An addict is more receptive when they are depressed. I thought, well, that's ironic because that's sort of where I'm at today. And I know that my higher power has used depression in my life as a tool to grow and to mature and to depend on him. But this is an area of my life where I do not trust God. And I know these meetings are the answer. I tell other people there's nothing else that works. I've seen too many people whose lives have been changed. And so I know for me, OA is at home, is home for me. And Vision for You, the meetings are incredible. They're so good. And I think the fear that keeps me from trusting God, well, it's basically fear, a lot of fear on all different levels. But I'd say primarily that I won't have any joy in my life, you know, because food for me was always like comfort, joy, companionship, you know, all those things that are like, you know, last as long as the bite does, you know, or the, you know, as long as it lasts in your mouth. I mean, it's pretty much gone after that. But thank you for listening. I don't have a lot of recovery, so I really feel like I don't have a lot to offer, but I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Yes, there's always something to offer. Thank you very much, Tara B. from Florida. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 91, second paragraph down, when your man is better, and it ends with he may be more receptive when depressed. Who would like to share on that paragraph? Star one to unmute.
Victoria E.
Victoria E. That's Victoria.
Jan C.
Jan C. Anyone?
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen T. Now is your time. Been a little shy. Just press star one. Okay, we'll go with those three. I have Victoria E., Jan C., and Mary Ellen T. Everyone mute except Victoria. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. I would just like to leave my phone number. I'm coming back.
Oh,
if I can do that.
Now, yeah, Victoria, that happens at the end because this is being recorded. So
okay,
at the
thank
end,
you.
We invite newcomers to share their phone number.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
All right. So now we'll have Jan C.
Good morning. This is Jan C. from Denver, Colorado. Nice sunny day here. I am so grateful to be in this program, and I'm happy to be on the line with you this morning. I've heard some great things. But what I want to share this morning is on this paragraph, I'm sponsoring a couple of, I'm taking two women through the big book, The Steps, at the same time now. So it's been a challenge. I've not done it in this quite this way. And the one woman, I was a little hesitant because I've seen her on meetings and relapse happening. And what's happened is as I'm sponsoring her, so this is a little beyond this person. This is about a guy or woman who maybe doesn't want to really join the program. But what's happened, I was concerned about whether this person would follow directions and whether I had the experience to give good directions. And I have to tell you, God's doing this. God is guiding me to share more about myself and the woman is relating more, and I'm relating to her, and she's unveiling many things about herself. And it's helping. And I'm just so grateful. And it sure is keeping me abstinent and closer to my higher power. So I think, and I've turned all of this over to my higher power. So I don't know if that's exactly on the topic, but what I'm learning is that if I let God be the guide, my God helps me say what I'm supposed to say and listen the way I'm supposed to listen and hear things. And we hit on something this morning with one sponsee that she's never talked about and didn't think it mattered. It appeared to me it did. So thank you, God. And we'll see how God keeps us going. And that's what I want to share. Thanks for letting me today. God bless everybody. Thank you for all your service.
Thank you. Thank you, JNC from Colorado. Up next is Mary Ellen T. And after Mary Ellen, I could take another lineup of names. Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Hey there, Mo. Good morning. I'm Mary Ellen, and I live in Corvallis, Oregon. And I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and recovered just for today. And I say that because my recovery journey has included a lot of relapses, even being in Big Book recovery. And so I guess, you know, what I want to share is about the receptive word. And I'm just going to spin off of that a little bit, but it may not relate exactly to the paragraph, but, you know, the me growing more receptive to the lessons that I've needed to learn, that my disease has had to teach me and that my higher power has had to teach me in recovery has been really pivotal. And I'm just so grateful that somehow I've been given the gift along the way of the essentials that the Big Book talks about, the sensual attitudes that we need to have for recovery. And that's that honesty and that open-mindedness and that willingness. Somebody was talking about that one blueberry on the scale. And, you know, that's something that I've really fought tooth and nail. I've always had an ego that has told me I'm different. I don't need to follow the rules. My mother made sure, she let me know that multiple times when I was growing up. I have the humility now in my recovery to honestly say, yeah, that's probably one of the first things that would show up when somebody wants to talk to me about something or somebody wants to model something to me about recovery, is that, yeah, I got that. I already know that. I'm so busy trying to look like I know things, and instead of just having the humility, I'm just really grateful that I've had the desire, which is what, you know, the Big Book talks about. This program, the recovery journey is about growing that relationship with your higher power. That, you know, that's a whole point behind what we're doing, and I just try to keep that in mind with my relapses. I had to become more receptive to the idea that I had to weigh and measure. I had to become more receptive to the idea that I needed to weigh and measure pretty darn specifically, that I couldn't be, half an ounce over. And I never wanted to be that way. But, you know, my relapses have taught me that my disease, my disease takes over. And it takes over within, a split second if I am not really closely aligned to my higher power and being really open to lessons and messages that you all have to share with me and that my higher power has to share with me. So that's all I want to share.
Thank you very much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. We have time for a number of more shares. So who would like to share in this paragraph, page 91, second paragraph down? When your man is better, and it ends with he may be more receptive when depressed. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Jerry Lynn from Idaho.
Jerry Lynn.
Michelle Deanna.
Michelle. I heard Michelle. And who was after Michelle?
Deanna.
Oh, Dion. Hi, Dion.
Hey.
Jan R. Pick maybe one more. All right, we'll go with this group. We got Jerry Lynn, Michelle, and Dion R. If you give me the first initial of your last name, Jerry Lynn, and where you're calling from.
Good morning. Jerry Lynn T. from Idaho, and we have snow today, and yesterday was 70 degrees. So welcome to Idaho. That paragraph read, I really got more out of people sharing to apply it, because I am supposed to be sharing on meetings at least once a week. And since I qualify for another program, I always think that one's easier, because food has always been harder and harder for me. And I am really trying to understand the food behaviors. And as I understand them, I can talk about them differently. And I am currently working with someone, because I've finished my steps and my sponsor thinks I'm ready to sponsor. And so I just know you have to pray for the right person, because I've had bad sponsors. I've had one in AA for probably 20 years. Right now, I wonder why I kept her that long. So it's both sides of understanding what the book is really saying and really trusting myself and seeing that, letting the sunlight of the Spirit to come through and show me when the right time and the right person, because I thought I needed someone for me that was really codependent, and she created more rebel in me than I've had in years. And I didn't even know that. Plus, there's no local meetings here, so everything's on Zoom or the phone. So it's really, really hard to look at the level of honesty you got to do with food. And not make it dieting. So I just know there's a lot more work and a lot more to help people see that than just getting stable with a doctor. So thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry Lynn T. from Snowy, Idaho. Up next is Michelle. If I can have the first initial of your last name and the state you're calling from. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. My name is Michelle A.C., and I'm from Colorado, and I'm relatively new. I've been here since December, and I've never shared before, and I, too, appreciate the slow day, because I'm not sure I would have unmuted under any other circumstances. But something happened to me, which I would say was a spiritual experience, when people started sharing about this paragraph, because my sponsor's been telling me, you know, we're reading the book to identify in, keep trying to identify in, which people are you, what things are you, which adjectives are you, which verbs are you. And I just went, oh, people did try to help me. People did say things to me and try to break through my veneer. I should say I'm a compulsive overeater and a restrictor. And people tried to break through my veneer, especially when I was on the restriction side, and doctors would say things to me, and I would get so self-righteous. Like, what are they talking about? They're out of their minds. And I just couldn't admit that there was anything wrong, and my disease wouldn't let me see what they were telling me, but I never forgot it. And then a fellow of mine in another program got involved in OA and was not talking to me about me at all, was talking to me about herself. And it sunk in, and I really, like, listened to her, and I was fascinated. And I went to a convention with her in December and helped her, like, carry in her abstinent food stuff to her hotel room and, like, really talk to her about it. And it sunk into me, because she wasn't talking to me about me. And when I got really depressed in December, it just came to me, like, there's a reason that I was with her getting to hear about that. I need to call. I need to go to OA. This is what I need to do. And it happened almost exactly as they're describing it, which I think is the magic for me, of the big book, but also of looking and spending 3 months with my sponsor being told to identify in. So I'm so grateful for Vision and so grateful for this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle A.C. from Colorado. I think, Dion, you'll be our last share. Good morning, Dion. Press star one to unmute.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me now, Mo?
There you are. I can.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning, all. My name is Dion R., now in Georgia. Just very grateful for your share. And what stood out for me the most, and I would, like you said, it was going slow, but I'm like, okay, but I'm hearing something from each and everyone's share. And it reminds me that when they're depressed enough, to same as like in the other 12-step program, when my behind whooping from life, from too much food, from breaking chairs, from getting in everybody else's business, telling them what to do, and I'm like 500 pounds. So it reminds me of that whale movie, you know. I can sit in the rooms of recovery or sit and say I got all the answers while I'm dying inside, you know. I'm dying. And how many times did I had to be whale whooped? I don't care who came along. I need a whale whooped, I'll say life whooping, food whooping, to surrender and say, you know what, HP or a program of OA, I want to do this. I can't hide out in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the beverage program. That's my story. I can't hide out in Alcoholics Anonymous while I'm blowing up in OA, you know, in that program, running from OA. I'd heard about it, but I thought, well, it's just my disease. And everywhere I went, I kept hearing somebody remind me, disease is a disease is a disease. God had to lift me up to keep and be honest, to say, I need help too. I'm not coming just to listen or gossip. And so I have a friend, a little friendly friend, that addicted to games and what they call those? Games. Yeah, like social media. I didn't know people. You could be addicted. Dion, you could be addicted to anything. But when you turn it over to your HP, you also can surrender. You don't have to be addicted to technology or anything else. Whatever it is, they say keep hanging around, you'll get the answer too. But I don't have to, like a young man said, hang in a room and just get information and pass it on while I'm blowing up and dying. And with that, I'll pass. I'm so grateful.
Thank you very much, Dion R. from Georgia. We have time for maybe a minute share. Would anybody like to take that short minute?
Deanna C. from California.
Deanna C., you got it. Oh, sorry, guys. Deanna C.
Hi, good morning. My name is Deanna C., and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater in California. And I'm just so appreciative to be on the call today and hear all these shares. And the reminder that I heard one person say, this is what worked for me. I'm available to share it with you. And just see if that works for that other person. And so I'm responsible. It's like a gardener. I'm responsible for working in the garden, and our higher power is responsible for the results. And if I can just keep remembering that, I'll be okay. So I just want to encourage each and every one of us to recover, 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 be good gardeners, and leave the results to our higher power. Pass.
Oh, perfect ending to a great meeting. Thank you very much, Deanna C. from California. Okay. Let's see, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Janelle T. to read a vision for you.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you always for your service. This is Janelle T., grateful and recovered compulsive eater in Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.